The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated, and we invite the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Good morning. This morning we heard a very, very special story. We heard about Jesus and his disciples going up on the mountain together. And while they were there, two men from the Old Testament suddenly appeared. Do you remember who they were? Were you listening? It was Moses and Elijah. And all of a sudden, they were together, and we can see Peter just so excited. "Oh my goodness, what should we do? Let's build some houses. Let's have a party. Let's do something." And all of a sudden, out from heaven, they heard,
"This is my Son. Listen to him."
You know, I think there's a message in that. There's a message for us. God said, "Listen to them. Listen to my Son. Listen to him." There's a way we can explain this, but I need the congregation's help. On the count of three, I want you to shout out things you think these children should do in their lifetime. One, two, three. Keep going. What did you hear? Could you really understand what they were saying? No, there was confusion, wasn't there? Sometimes in our life, the very same thing happens. People are telling us to do this, and someone else is telling us to do that, and we just get confused. But Jesus says, "Listen to me." Now, how do you suppose you can do that? How can you listen to Jesus? That's right. We go to the Bible. We read his word. We listen to the stories that we hear in Sunday school. We listen to Jesus. And that's what he is telling us today. Let us pray. Fold your hands and say that after me. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us direction and help us to listen to him. Thank you. You can go back.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Peter had not quite figured it out. Only a few days before going up on the mountain, he had spoken aloud for the first time his belief that Jesus was the Messiah, which had not gone as well as he had hoped for. And now he was going up a mountain with James and John, the three of them following after Jesus, unsure of what came next, but following faithfully as they had since the day they met him. If you have ever gone hiking up a mountain, you know that you are not always looking up to the top as you work your way up. Your vision can become small and more narrow. You begin to look down and check the placement of your feet on the rougher patches. As you work your way up, step after step, your thighs begin to burn a little, and your lungs may wonder why you chose today, of all days, to see how well they function. And at some point, your head may bow down just a little, catching your breath or checking your footing. And you can lose sight of the top, if not even the person right in front of you, as your eyes focus in on the only square of dirt you need to worry about in the next 5 seconds. Peter and James and John were hiking. They knew they were headed up a mountain following after Jesus because he had asked them to come with him. And when you don't know how far you're going, or you've never been on this trail before, it's much easier to get to the place where you are not paying attention to much else besides where you are going to set your foot next. So they kept working their way up this mountain when, without any announcement, Jesus stopped moving. Like any of us would do after plodding along up a path, only to have the person in front of us stop, they looked up. Because when you're walking up the mountain behind someone, you only need to have a sense of where their feet are in your periphery so that you can find your next step. You need not be looking at the whole of their person. But Jesus stopped, and they looked. And in that moment, everything changed. Well, at least what they could see had changed. This group, Jesus and his disciples, moved around a lot. And they did this in a time when the most common method of transportation was your own 2 feet, maybe even with sandals on. Traveling like that and living without any income of which to speak multiple sets of garments would not have been too common. Before we can even think about the idea of a glowing radiance, we have to realize that to have even had a clean, bright white garment of any variety would have been strange. Surely they would have noticed if Jesus had been trying to hike up the mountain in something like that. There he was. This was a picture of the promise that he had come to deliver. The whole of his being, shining bright with the light of God, radiant and resplendent in glory. Just a glimpse of the fullness of his nature. Something which the disciples and the crowds may have guessed at by chance, but something none of them had yet borne witness to. His whole figure, how they saw and perceived him, this was something not of this world. Truly, everything was changing. And they would never again see Christ the same way. And there they stood in awe of what they were seeing. The one who said he had come to fulfill the law and the prophets was there, revealing his divinity. And these three disciples knew that Moses and Elijah were standing with him. The law and the prophets and the gospel, the one that they had always pointed to, all together so that we would know. But not quite yet. Peter. We know Peter was starting to understand. But here again, his best effort is not the thing that was needed. There is no dwelling or tabernacle, no tent or house to be built. And then something happened, which had happened before, but none of the disciples had ever heard or seen in person. These three disciples were awestruck when the Father spoke, and they heard and knew that this one, this Christ, was the Son of God, and the Father was well pleased with him. Perhaps they had heard the story of when John had baptized him in the river, but it was only after that that Jesus had begun to call his disciples. In that moment, surely it must have been overwhelming, all of this, letting them catch a glimpse of what was to come and what had been promised. All of this, letting them in on the fuller picture. And they were filled with awe. And the Messiah, knowing so well the thing that each of them needed to hear, help them to stand up, help them to not be afraid. Because just as they were not called to build a tabernacle on the mountain, this story was not meant to only stay in that place. This story was meant to have life when the Messiah had been raised from the dead. That's why it was told to the gospel writers. That's why Peter's letter, a letter meant to be shared with as many people as could hear it, relays this experience to us. these three on the mountain caught just a glimpse of who it was who was promising the forgiveness of sins and eternal life for those who believed in him. They saw just a bit more, just enough to begin to really see the fullness of the Son of God. And they have shared this with us. It was not meant to be kept a secret. It was not meant to be special knowledge hidden from the world. This story is meant for everyone to hear, so that we may believe that the one who was hung on a tree and buried in a tomb, the one who would come back from the dead, that one, Jesus Christ, was the Son of God, and we are meant to hear this. We are meant to be witnesses to the story. And we, like the three on the mountain, will, in our own way, catch a glimpse of something, see and perceive something different, so that we too may be in awe of what God has done for us, and so that we too may believe and have faith in the one who saves us. We are meant to follow after him when he calls us to the altar, to the high place. Here at the table, we are, for just a moment, encountering something of the fullness of the risen Messiah. This is where things which before we only saw as earthly forms become something holy, and the Son of God is present in them. Like these three on the mountain, we are meant to be in awe when we encounter our Lord, and he will feed us and sustain us, because we are meant to be a part of the life after death which he has secured for us. We are meant to hear that he is the Son of God, so that we may believe, so that we can trust in what it is we are catching a glimpse of every time we come to the table, and so that we, like the three on the mountain, will know that we too have a story to share. Amen.